Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
I think God is just almost beside himself that mankind cannot accept the fact that it was a finished work. All right, so called of God, verse 10, a high priest, not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek, who, remember, was the high priest of the Most High God, which was the definition of God concerning the non-Jewish world. All right, now we'll move down into verse 11, and we're going to, again, depart from the priesthood of Melchizedek for a little bit, and we're going to come down into the life of the ordinary believer, the ordinary Hebrew in this case, but we're no different. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Now, what is Paul referring to? It was hard for him to talk to them about the priesthood of Christ and after his finished work. Why? Because they were so thick. They just couldn't get it through their head, see? And so he says, you're dull of hearing. Now, verse 12, why were they dull of hearing? Well, it was a malaise, I think. It was just no real interest. In fact, I think I can safely say, any one of you, I don't care what church you go to, it's no difference, denomination by denomination, large churches or small. How many of your fellow church people have a hunger for the Word of God? How many of them can honestly say, I just can't wait until I can get into another Bible study? Oh, I had an interesting call from a lady out in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. She's going to be tickled to death when she hears this. But she called the other morning. She started a prison ministry amongst women prisoners there in Bethlehem. And she had kind of a hassle getting started from the powers that be. But anyhow, they finally gave her a place where she could meet. Well, a few weeks ago, she had her first lesson, and she uses a half hour of our tape and has some singing and so forth. But anyhow, she used a half hour of our tape as the basis. Well, the first time they met, there were three ladies. And she was excited to have three. But the next week, she had, I think, nine, if I remember right. Yesterday morning, she called. She was so excited, she could hardly talk. She had 19. Had 19 ladies. And she said, Les, the best part is, she says, we meet on Monday now. She said, they want a second one during the week. Well, that is exciting, see? Because once people get an appetite, once a week isn't enough. And so I said, Daisy, one of these days, maybe you can go almost five nights a week like I've been doing. And you'll just get filled up with it. But see, this is the whole idea that Paul is expressing here. Most professing, now I didn't say possessing, but most professing believers have no hunger for the Word of God. They're dull of hearing. As long as they fulfill their obligation and they're there for an hour or two a week, they think that's all that's necessary. But see, Paul is dealing with that when he says, verse 12 now, for when the time you ought to be what? Teachers. What does that mean? You're sharing it with people. But instead, hey, they're too ignorant to be teachers. He says, you have need that one teach you again, which are the first principles of the oracles of God. So right there between the lines, what is the process that God hopes to see happen? That after you've been taught, you share it with others. Now, that doesn't mean you have to collar them and preach at them or anything like that. But be ready to open the Scripture. Another phone call I had just the other morning. A gentleman was so excited, he could hardly talk. And he said, Les, I've always hoped that I could have an opportunity to share all this with somebody. And he says, the other day, a fellow came into my office and asked just the right question. He says, I did, like you have said so often. He says, I grabbed a sheet of paper, and he says, I drew the timeline. And as I went through the whole timeline with that fellow, and he said, he left on cloud nine. He had never seen the Scriptures open like this before. Well, it wasn't but another day later, had another one almost exact, but his inquirer was a Russian who was over here visiting in America on business, and he had asked the same thing. And it's a different individual. But he did the same thing. Took out a sheet of paper, and he says, just laid out the timeline to that young Russian. He had never seen anything like it before in his life. Well, you see, this is the whole idea. If you learn these things, then it is so easy to share it with others. You don't have to get out on the street corner and preach at people. You don't have to collar them. But when they ask the question, and you've heard me say it before, even on the program, you have both barrels cocked. Now, I'm going back to the old double barrel, 12-gauge shotgun that I grew up with. And when we were pheasant hunting, I know it was probably not the safest thing to do. But when we knew there were birds not too far away, we walked with the barrels cocked and ready. Well, you see, this is what I think people should do, that when someone asks you a question and it opens up, be ready. Be ready. Don't hem and haw and say, oh, well, I'm afraid to say something for fear I'm wrong. Hey, if you've studied, if you've done your homework, the Lord will give you what it takes to share it. And it'll be the most exciting thing you've ever experienced. All right, that's what Paul is dealing with, see? But these people weren't. They weren't ready. And he said, you need to be taught again the principles. Now, what are principles? The foundation, see? Now, I've got kids, grandkids that are unbelievable. They're all three in algebra this year. My granddaughter's in college algebra, and my older grandson is in an advanced algebra, and my youngest grandson is in a second-year algebra, not beginning. But all three of them are struggling with algebra, see? Well, I wish I had the time and the wherewithal to just sit down and teach all three of them. But you see, there's no use trying to teach algebra unless they got what? Plain old basic math. There's no use trying to learn algebra unless you know the principles of mathematics. Well, it's the same way with Scripture, see? People have to know the basics. That's why when people call and they want to start a home Bible study and they ask what I recommend, I said, you start in Genesis. Start in Genesis. Get people an understanding of who God is, how it all came about, how did it all start, what happened, how did sin enter, how did the need of salvation come about. And so you start with the principles. And Paul says, you people haven't even got that. You cannot pass on the principles of the Word of God. Now, look what he says next. And you become such as have need of what? Milk. Goodness sakes. Who starts out on milk? Babies. We all know that. The babies start on milk. They can't handle beefsteak. They can't handle the stronger foods. They start on milk. Well, it's the same parallel spiritually. You don't take a new believer and take him into prophecy. He's not ready for that. But you take a new believer and you build him on the oracles, the basics of the Word of God. And that's why I like to teach the way I do, starting in Genesis, and just come on up through the Scriptures. And have people mature progressively in a knowledge of the Scriptures. All right. Now, Paul, of course, the tremendous apostle that he was, had problems teaching people too. People are people. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, I think most of you have been under my teaching long enough. You understand that the Corinthian church was the congregation with the most problems. They were the most unspiritual. They were believers, but they were so fleshly minded, they had not, as Hebrews says, they had not gone on into the deeper things. They too were guilty of not even understanding the principles of the Word of God. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So you see, if Paul has the problem, don't feel bad if you and I do. It's not easy to overcome some of these obstacles, but you just keep repeating and repeating and repeating. And finally, it starts soaking in. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal or fleshly, even as unto what? Babes or babies in Christ. Now, they were believers, and they had been believers for quite some time, but they were still in their infancy so far as spiritual things were concerned. Well, what was their problem? Hey, they were too hung up on tongues, prophecies, healings, going to law, the pagan courts against each other. They were too busy arguing between themselves who was the greatest, Jesus or Peter or Apollos or Paul. See? And what was that? Carnality. That's carnal thinking. And so he says, even after all these years, I have to treat you as babes in Christ. All right, next verse. Paul says, I fed you with milk. He understood when they were new believers, fresh out of paganism, he understood that they had to have the milk of the Word. And so that's what he gave them. And so he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat or the deeper things. For hitherto you were not able to bear it. That was understandable. But what does the rest of the verse say? And you still can't. Isn't that something? He says, I understood that at the beginning when you were new believers that you had to be treated like babes in Christ. But you haven't grown a bit. And I'm still having to treat you like babes in Christ. All right, now verse 3. What was their problem? For you are still carnal. You're more hung up on material things than you are on spiritual. Does that ring a bell? All right, here it comes now. I've already repeated it. For whereas there is among you envying and strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? In other words, the unsaved world. And I've already referred to this. Some said, well, we follow Apollos. We think Paul's the greatest. Others thought it was Peter. And then we had all their other problems. In fact, I remind people constantly, look, this Corinthian letter was written to confront problems. It does not admonish spirituality and position like Ephesians and Philippians do. But Paul had to deal with problems in that Corinthian church, because they weren't growing. They were concerned. Oh, they were saved. He refers to that. They were believers, but they were more concerned with fleshly and material things than they were the spiritual. But Paul was absolutely right in starting them out on the milk of the Word. And now I'm going to take you all the way back to Peter's little epistle. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. And I'll never forget a pastor that Iris and I enjoyed his ministry when we were first married, and he too, I'm pretty sure, is listening to our program now in his retirement. And hopefully this will put a feather in his hat. It will make his day, because this was one of the verses that we first memorized under his pastorate. He'd have us try to memorize a verse a week. And I still remember memorizing 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. All got it? As newborn babes. Now, you see the illustration? Just like a newly born infant, a human infant, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, goodness sakes, I imagine every last one of you have been around newborn babies. Usually, when they cry, what do they want? They want milk. They're hungry, see? And that little body is just crying out for nourishment. Well, that's the way a believer should be. A believer should just be so hungry. And this is what thrills Iris and I as we read our mail. We're seeing it. People are. They've been in these dead churches for so long. And when all of a sudden they taste of the Word of God, they can't get enough of it. I had a young man call just last night. He watches the program in the morning, tapes it, watches it again when he gets at home at night. Well, he gets 60 minutes a day of Les Feldick and the Word. Well, you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed at what that young man knew. I was just telling Jerry Poole, I think at break time. The guy just blew me away with his knowledge, and he had never had any of this before in his life. Boy, I mean, he just laid it out one item after another. And I said, and you've learned all this just in the last few months? And he said, never heard it before. So it's possible, see, it's possible. But we start out as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word. The principles, as Paul said in Hebrews, of the Word of God. The foundations, the basics. And what's the purpose to be? That you grow. Now, babies don't stay on milk, you know that. There comes a point in time when mama begins to, what do you call it? Pureed food or whatever. And you grind it up and make it mush. They can handle it. And then pretty soon they start eating of the more solid food. And it's a growth. Well, the Bible is the same way. You start out with the basics and you grow in your desire and your knowledge. All right, verse 3. I like this verse from the pen of Peter. When you grow from the milk of the Word, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is what? Gracious. My, when you begin to taste of the goodness of God, it just whets your appetite, see? Well, anyway, now we got to come back to Hebrews. Our time is going fast. We only have a few moments left. So back to chapter 5. So the whole connotation is again, that instead of being ready to teach the Word to others, most believers are still on the milk bottle. And they're not ready for strong meat. And as soon as you start talking some of the deep things of Scripture, what do? They blink through, I can't understand that anyway. That's over my head. Well, whose fault is that? It's their own. The reason these deep things go over their head is because they haven't taken time to study the simpler things and to progress. Just like in our secular education, it's a direct parallel. You know, I've said it over and over. Would you take a kid and put him in a calculus or a physics class if he never had fourth and fifth grade arithmetic? Of course not. Impossible. And so our whole secular education is a progressive thing to bringing up our young people to the place where they can comprehend the deeper concepts of whatever discipline. All right, now then, let's move on to verse 13. For everyone that useth milk, they're still on maybe Christ's earthly ministry. Maybe they've gotten that far, that they understand that Jesus of Nazareth had a ministry and his miracles and so forth. That's as far as they can go. That's all they know. It's just simply his earthly ministry. And consequently, they're unskillful in the word of righteousness. Now, you know, there are a lot of the deeper concepts that come from the pen of the Apostle Paul that I imagine the vast majority of church members know nothing of. And the first one that comes to my mind is that the old Adamic nature is bent to sin. Very people understand that. You know, I've put it on the board over and over the years. We're not sinners because we sin. Remember? We sin because we're sinners. Well, most people don't even know what I'm talking about. But you see, the old Adamic nature that we're born with is hell-bent. It is sin-bent. And the only way you can overcome that is by the regeneration brought about by the power of God. And once we're regenerated, then we can begin to understand spiritual things. But until that happens, we can't. And so they can rehearse Christ's earthly ministry. I mean, they've heard that in Sunday school for years and years, and they know that pretty much. But beyond that, they don't know. When it comes to end time events, as we see them rolling up around us, most people don't have a clue as to what all this is about. And what's the problem? They've never gotten off the milk bottle. They've never gotten any further than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, and so then he says, they're unskilled in righteousness because they're babes. Oh, they may be 8, 10 years old, but they're still like a 2-year-old. And even in believers, they may have been saved for years and years, but they've never gotten beyond the baby stage spiritually. And so Paul is admonishing them. Get off the baby bottle. Now verse 14, and I guess hopefully this will take us to the end. But strong meat, the adult food, see? The strong food belongs to them who are of full age, that is, spiritually mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. All right, now what does all that mean? Well, after the rudiments of salvation and we're babes in Christ and we begin to study the Word and we begin to understand some of the basics now, and I think one of the first things we have to realize in this age of grace is that the moment we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit indwells us, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. And He becomes then our teacher. The Holy Spirit is the one who opens up an understanding of the Scriptures. I guess I better use Scripture to define that. Come back to 1 Corinthians. Come back to 1 Corinthians. Starting at verse 10 in chapter 2, honey. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's just start at verse 10. Because this is where we start as a new believer, with an understanding that we're not just left out there to our own devices, but we have that indwelling Holy Spirit who is ready to reveal these things if we will ask Him to. I think we have to take the prerogative and just simply pray and ask God, give me understanding. Teach me. Give me wisdom. And the Lord will do it. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's just drop in at verse 10. But God has revealed them. That is, the things that are only for believers to understand. But God hath revealed them unto us by His what? Spirit. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. All right, then come all the way down to verse 13. Which things also we speak, Paul says, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. See? You don't go by what men say. You go by what the Word of God says through the leading of the Holy Spirit. All right, we don't go by what man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth. And here's how you study. You compare spiritual with spiritual. This is why I use as many scriptures as I possibly can, because we have to understand that the Word of God dovetails. Everything fits. And we compare scripture with Scripture. And then verse 14, my, if this doesn't just tell us everything. But the natural, the unregenerated, the unsaved man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? They're foolishness to him. And why are they foolishness? Because he has no hunger.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.